gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on the show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
Chris, the Herons are back.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 152 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD. How are you doing, sir?
Not only are we back, but we made a comeback. Your mic is off.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look, like I said, not only are we back, but we made a comeback, and a hell of a comeback, too.
We did, and I thought that this show was going to be, oof. After they scored that third goal, it was 3-1. I was like, oh, man, tonight's going to be a saucy episode where everybody's going to kill Tata and just about everything about this team. And you know what? With good reason, because I still think that there's reason to get at them. But we'll go step by step. Oof. So let's go. Where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the starting 11? Do you want to start with the atmosphere at the stadium? Do you want to start with the fact that we still have that stupid-ass away goal advantage, which, I mean, at this point, plays to our advantage?
Well, I have the starting 11 if you haven't downloaded it just yet.
I'll have it. Go ahead. You filibuster while I get it up here.
So I'm gonna send it to myself just in case. But for those of you that are listening on audio, basically we're gonna put the starting lineup pretty shortly. But a real weird 5-3-2 deal here, which really looks like a 3-5-2. And
it is a 3-5-2. There is no 5-3-2.
So basically, Noah Allen plays left back. You got Freire, Christoph, and Aviles center back. You got Gressel right back. You got Gomez on the left mid. You got Redondo on the right mid. Busquets in the middle. Suarez on the left front. And then Messi playing up top on the right. And looking at this starting lineup, and then I saw the bench, right? Is it like a requirement to have two goalies? Because we had Dos Santos and we had Jensen on the bench. Then we had Saylor and Taylor. Boatwright, Ruiz, and Sunderland, and Borgelin as well. So we had all those.
That's not a requirement.
So we had. I mean, I don't know if it is a requirement, but at the end of the day, like that was, I don't know why we had two goalies in place. It was awful. I mean, for those of you that are watching, you can see it here. If you're on audio, sorry, just follow along as we speak. And it was just, looking at this lineup, I hate that they made the sacrifice of taking out Taylor. I really hate it. And so many people, everybody's just going crazy here. Tank is saying his neighbors probably thought that he was dying. Someone was dying. Tariq dropping a super bomb saying, I told you on Twitter, hope the Messi and Suarez showed up. They both showed up. The game definitely could have been better. Defensively, it was awful.
All right, so let's start with the starting 11. What surprised you the most? The fact that Taylor was benched or the fact that we went with three in the back?
I think the fact that Taylor was benched, I mean, as far as going three in the back, right? As you look at this starting lineup, you think we're going five in the back, right? But like Allen and Gressel were like just so high. And there was a play. I recorded a play. And I want to see if I can be able to bring the video in. I don't think I'm going to be able to because it was a large video. It was the first goal. And this guy, Gressel, just didn't run back. He was like walking back on defense.
But with a 3-5-2, you with the wingbacks are going to play up high, especially with Tata's formation and his tactics. You can't expect Allen or Gressel to be responsible defensively. You have to expect, unfortunately, with the three in the back and Busquets to help out also. And let me tell you something. On that first goal, Freire, Christophe, Aviles all look lost as hell. I'm going to tell you what I thought was my biggest gripe with the whole 3-5-2. My biggest gripe is, why would you try... It didn't work in the preseason, which is fine. You were experimenting, and then you got away from it. My problem with it was, and by the way, Joe Kerr, he just asked, he said, nice shirt. Do I get my cut? I've had this shirt for about 2 weeks. I've been waiting for today to wear it, but I did see your artwork today. It was close, almost the same one. My issue was it didn't work in the preseason, and why would you bring it back for a Champions Cup game? Like, if you bring it back, like, even for the Orlando game, it would have sucked because, you know, you want to win that game. But, like, bring it back during – like, if your intention is to play three in the back, bring it back during the regular season game where we can kind of work on the kinks. You could tell Freire, Christophe, and Aviles were all lost out there. They were all lost. And
absolutely.
It was abysmal. Aviles completely forgot that he had to cover the right side. There was nobody around this kid. Was Schufferlin that scored? Like, it was really, really bad. And I think that's my biggest issue with this formation is the fact that we just randomly threw it out there for the first time in a CCC game. Our first ever CCC game in history. And we just throw it out there. Like, come on, man. Like, why would you do that?
I thought it was just awful. And look, And luckily, I was able to see a replay of the first goal because with all of the streaming and sites and stuff, I tried to – my phone, I think it definitely got hacked. I definitely got viruses on my phone from the amount of links I had to click. And I missed the – I probably the only thing I missed that game was the first goal. But I was luckily able to watch the rest of the game, and Florida Man is super hyped. Look, everybody is freaking hyped right now. Like, we got bailed out at the end of the game. And, like, I just want to mention something. For those of you that are really questioning Luis Suarez and his freaking health, calm down. Calm down. That guy's good. Okay?
Yeah, I think we're past that. Tariq, one thing I noticed about Miami is that they don't make tactical yellow card fouls in dangerous positions. Both goals could have been stopped with fouls. That's a great point, actually. They don't make those tactical fouls. I mean, I know Steve Munoz, Don Cafecito, told us the other day that he felt like Diego Gomez does make those tactical fouls. I didn't think so. And then today, they probably could have been stopped. There was one where Redondo kind of stopped a counter, but he stopped it with a hadouking to the neck. He completely elbowed this guy, Schufferlin, in the neck. I thought he was going to get a red card, honestly. He ended up getting a yellow card. So that might have been a tactical, more of a tactical foul. But all in all, I wasn't a fan of the formation for the reason that, like I told you, they brought it out for the first time since the preseason in a very important game. And also, if Jordi Alba was playing, I would have felt a little bit better about this. We love Noah Allen on this show, and I think that he's been doing a great job at left center back. Even at left back, left wing back, Jordi Alba gives you a lot offensively. Up until now, this season so far, our offense has all been built up the left side with Jordi Alba. Noah Allen isn't Jordi Alba, so he doesn't give us that. So all of a sudden, we're trying to figure out how to now build up offensively with this new tactic because we don't have Jordi Alba leading the charge on the left side. We're trying to figure out how to defend with three in the back. Like, it was too many new moving parts for such an important game. And I think that was my biggest gripe with everything here, is that we were trying to figure things out on the fly. And this isn't one of those games that you kind of just throw away because we needed this.
Well, and CJC saying Redondo looked like a victim of war coming off the field. Thanks for the support, CJC. Much appreciated. Listen, Redondo, for the most part, he played pretty sexy. As sexy as a jawline is, and he looks like a novella character, he played pretty good. I like what I see with the Redondo kid. I can see why everybody is just fucking hyped about this guy. But for the most part, I liked Redondo.
Yeah, and I was asking, did Tata forget what happened 3-5-2 in the preseason? I think he did. You know what I think it might be also? And I really hope this isn't the case. I think that he is just obsessed with Gressel. He's like, I need to figure out a way to get Gressel on the pitch, and he can't play right back because he sucks defensively.
Yeah.
Because I can't see why else he would do this. So I don't get it.
Thank you, Broward.
And we appreciate that, Broward Heron. Don't forget to like the stream and appreciate the Super Slam.
Yes. And Rob Wise is saying Redondo was not very good. Did you think that Redondo didn't play well? I mean, okay, so are we done wrapping up the starting lineup here?
Yeah, I think we're done. Yeah, I think so, we're done. Is there anything else that you would like to add or the chat add to the starting lineup? Look, we figured Redondo would play. That's another thing.
Where's Campana?
Why would you put Redondo to start? Well, Campana's injured. Why would you put Redondo to start on his very first game in such an important match? Like, Tata does that. He did that in the final for the U.S. Open Cup last year, where Diego Gomez had been out for a month, and it's like, oh, he's healthy? Let's just throw him back in. Throw him right back into the fire. He had a horrible game. Horrible game. It's like, yeah. He can come off the bench. He can come off the bench.
Listen, so, guys, follow Jason's advice here. 406 viewers. Come on, guys. Just press the thumbs up real quick. Just real quick.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just gonna. I'm sorry because I just keep coming in. Augustine is saying the chat is on fire. You guys are freaking amazing. I don't think that Redondo played bad, but I guess we could start with the beginning of the game. What were your thoughts just starting off the game? I mean, we got literally scored on within 2 minutes.
No, I don't know what minute. I haven't even pulled up the stats because we jumped on.
It was like two. It was like 3 minutes.
All right. Yeah. So the first 3 minutes of the game. The first 3 minutes of the game, I remember because we were chatting in the Discord. And I said in the Discord, Miami is being really aggressive with their press. They were pressing Nashville. And I thought they have absolutely no respect for the Nashville attack because they think that there's absolutely no chance that if Nashville were to beat the press, that they could do anything. And I was very surprised at how aggressive they were pressing to start the game. I was like, Miami might score early. And for the most part, I thought that they did a pretty decent job of getting back to defend. Yes. But they got back to defend, and I don't know what it was like. Kristoff, Farias, both like came in on the offensive player. Kristoff kind of
You're talking about Freire.
Freire.
Yeah.
And then Kristoff kind of kicked it away, but he kicked it towards the other Nashville player. It was just a hot mess. And that goal. I don't know, man. Like, I want to say that our defense was horrible, but it was just that. It just didn't make sense to me. I was like, I don't even know how that happened. But that first goal was rough, and I think that it kind of brought down the morale of Miami that was pressing so hard to start the game.
Well, I don't know if you saw, but like there was a lot of sort of like little beef between Freire and Kristoff on a couple of plays that I saw that the camera caught. And I was like, ooh, Freire and Kristoff are not hitting it off right now. So there's like a little bit of bad blood back there in between those two defenders.
I did not catch that. But I will tell you, Kristoff didn't look good. And Freire, for as much as everybody was licking him up yet last game, he didn't necessarily look great either.
You know, I didn't think I didn't think Allen played that bad, guys. And that cross at the end, I thought that was a really good cross.
I don't know. I think Alba crosses it to the top of the box instead of crossing it straight.
Correct.
Through the six box. So, because he crossed it, and okay, if there would have been somebody on the back post, maybe whoever, I don't know who's supposed to be back there at that time, David Reese maybe, and we'll get to him because he needs to get more credit for that last goal. But I agree. That cross was cool. But Jordi Alba crosses it to the top of the box where Messi's running in through, like he's done a million times. I don't think Noah had a bad game. I don't. But I think Jordi Alba would have contributed a lot more offensively.
And Yeoman Singh is saying Allen is average. Listen, Noah Allen, we're not saying he's a world beater. He's not like an all-star, right? But at the end of the day, like he served a pretty good purpose on the field. He's replacing Jordi Alba.
Look, Asif said Freire had a solid game. Okay.
Yeah. Look, yeah, I thought he had a solid game as well. I mean, it was very on and off. Nothing. It was meh. You know, sometimes he looked nice, sometimes he didn't. I mean, he didn't look that great.
All we have to do next week, and I know I'm getting ahead of myself because we still want to talk about this the game, but yes. All we have to do next week is draw either 0-0 or 1-1. I mean, obviously, if we win, we're good. But let's say hypothetically we don't win and we draw 0-0 or 1-1 and we move on anyway. So, I mean, we're in good shape.
And Matthews is mentioning, guys, did you see Messi's reaction to that cross? He looked like he wanted to kill someone. He was super pissed. But when I saw that, I'm like, well, I mean, look, man, Messi knows way more football than I can ever dream of, right? So maybe he's right. Maybe there was a terrible cross. But from my perspective, it looked like a pretty good cross. I thought it was good. Just a lean forward by Luis Suarez, and it would have been headed in probably.
No idea what this is, but appreciate the support.
Yes, I don't watch Dragon Ball, so.
So RIP to the GOAT, Akira Toriyama.
Yeah, rest in peace, I guess. I don't know what that is. I don't know what Dragon Ball Z is, guys. I mean, I know it from like TV and stuff, but let's get back to the game, guys. So we get scored on real early. Everybody wants to shoot their brains out, right?
Oh, look. At that point, this is a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of people that watch. I mean, I'm assuming they're talking about Dragon Ball Z. So, you know.
All right. Go ahead.
So, all right. We get scored on easy. First couple minutes of the game by Schaffelberg that still has a mullet in 2024. And all of a sudden, everybody wants to pull their eyes out because we're like, this is brutal. But then that's when you started seeing that the team started moving a little bit better, started playing a little bit better, started playing a little bit cleaner, a little bit better on defense, rotating the ball a little bit more. I mean, is that what you saw too, Danny? Because that's what I saw in the second half, that we started moving the ball a little bit better and playing a little bit better after we scored the ball, after they scored.
In the second half?
Yeah.
Or in the first
half? Thank you, Aria. In the first half.
I was just surprised that Nashville, and I don't know if Data maybe didn't expect it either, but Nashville, they are an oppressing team. They're a park-the-bus type of team. And they were pressing us, and they were giving us a very difficult time to work our way out of there.
Yeah.
So this is what I thought Orlando would do to us. This is what I expect all teams to do to us. And Orlando didn't do it, and you saw how that turned out. And Nashville saw that, and they went ahead, and they did that. And, I mean, I thought that if we beat the press, we would have numbers, and with Messi and Suarez, we would eventually, you know, make them pay. But yes. I got to give credit to Nashville. Nashville played very well. And, I mean, when the second half started, let me tell you something. When Schaffelberg hit that missile to the back of the net, the 47th minute.
Yeah, 2 minutes later after the second half started.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, we might be in trouble. We might be in trouble.
Well, Rob Wise is mentioning that he'd rather talk about duck rape than anime. That's a shout out for all of you that joined us in our last episode. If you don't know what Rob Wise is talking about, that is a very well spent $1.99, Rob Wise. Thank you so much for the support. Trust me, it is that $1.99 goes way longer than anybody can ever imagine. I thought starting the second half, we get scored on again within the first 3 minutes of the second half, and I'm like, we're cooked. And Joel Kerr, you're absolutely correct. I opened the window to add a little bit of difference in the background. So maybe next time I'll open up this other screen right here. So I got my cat over here too. I'm not going to show you guys my cat though.
All right. So soon thereafter, it was a little messy magic. And I think my favorite part, one, that seemed like this almost the same spot that he scored that goal in the League's Cup final. Yeah. Top of the box, beautiful goal. Obviously, when he scored in the League's Cup, he was going towards his left, and he hit it to the top left corner. But but it was still outside the box. But my favorite thing was his reaction. He was hyped when he scored that goal. And at that moment, I thought, oh, we're coming back. Like, we're coming back, and this is serious. But But man, I thought Nashville did a great job of pressing us. They didn't let us breathe. They didn't let us bring the ball up easy. And then when they were too tired to press high, they had that mid block where we just couldn't. We had a hard time breaking them down. But that's just common for Nashville. It's just hard to score on them all the time.
And this is a great point. You got to read this, Danny. I don't even want to read this for you.
Kata said, Danny, you might be right. Nashville, the real rival. Well, that's why I said I was going to do that same poll again. And I still expect Orlando to win. But I think that I'll expect a slight bigger percentage because when you start playing playoff, because let's be real, this is like a playoff series, right? A two-game playoff. You start building animosity. Look. When that guy put his cleats into Messi's calf, I wanted to put my cleats into his face. Like, I was upset. So, like, this is the type of stuff that you see. And I'm sure that Nashville fans right now, if any of them are streaming live right now, I am 100% sure that they're bitching about that offside call that brought that third goal back, which we'll get to in a second. So, this is the type of stuff that makes rivalries. So, Orlando, I think, is beneath us. But, you know, it is what it is. I understand why everybody wants to beat Orlando because they are annoying as hell.
Yes, and Albertico is mentioning Redondo gave us a glimpse of his range capabilities. Listen, this is his first game playing with us, thrown straight into the fire in a tournament where we wouldn't kind of get far into. So considering all of that, and it's his first time playing, and he only trained with us for like 5.5 minutes, I'll take that. So, you know.
I'm sorry, real quick. Tariq, and Tariq just said he's asking why we turned the chats off after the live is over. The chat is never off. It's always available. And I've had that question.
You just
got to
kind of scroll
times.
Through. It's left and right. It's a little difficult.
It's always there, it's a little Tariq. Difficult. And I appreciate again the support, but it's always there. Statistically, ball possession, we held the ball 70% of the time.
Yeah, man. Because you could tell.
Because they were pressing us and we were passing it back and forth trying to beat the press. Or we would finally make it to the other side of the pitch when they were finally playing that low block, and then we were passing it around trying to figure out how to break them down. So obviously, it's comment, not chats. Oh no, it is.
Yeah,
chats,
you got it, man. It is chats. You just got to scroll. I think left and right. You'll find it. You'll find it.
So that 2-1 scoreline held for quite a while. And then we got towards the 81st, 82nd minute, I want to say. And then all of a sudden, Nashville made their five subs. They took out Mukhtar. They took out Schefferlin, whatever his name. I forgot. What was his name?
Schaffelberg.
They took out Schaffelberg. And when they did that, I thought, oh, that's it. They're going to park the bus. They're good going into Miami next week, up 2-1. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
But coincidentally, when they made those substitutions, they had possession. Mm-hmm. They threw the ball in. Shaq Moore got it. And Shaq Moore never scores. And somehow he managed to play his way from the right side of the pitch all the way to the middle. And it's like the sea just opened up. Aviles, Freire, all of them just moved out of the way. And I was like, this is unbelievable. I could not believe that this happened. And by the grace of God, the third goal gets called back. Offside. Chris, what was your reaction when you saw that goal got called back?
I mean, I had a feeling it was going to happen, and I thought that because I thought that this is the kind of play where the referee's thinking, if I call this, Twitter's going to lambaste me one way or the other.
Care about Twitter?
I mean, I think that they care about their perception, especially since everybody's like apparently a backup ref. And then
this is CONCACAF.
Oh, that's right. So he's like a real ref. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, it was inches where he was like offsides.
I didn't think he was offside.
Yeah, it didn't look like he was offside. So,
if you look at the replay when they like drew the lines, I felt like they did it went up and like then they did like a slant zigzag.
That's the messy line.
Very messy line for sure. I was like, I don't know. I'll take it, but I didn't think that was offside at all.
And Rob Wise is mentioning in the comments, Christoph Sunderland was the man of the match. Listen, I did think Sunderland was the man of the match because if it wasn't for him linking up with Busquets, we wouldn't have gotten that last goal. Mm. Okay. Prove me wrong. Came in.
I don't know if that makes him the man of the match.
Players. One of the most efficient players.
Okay, I'll give you that. Most efficient players to the way he made that pass.
I'm gonna call him real quick. I'm gonna call Boosie real quick. I'm gonna let him know. Hey, stop passing that thing back.
Yeah, because every time he does that, it's a turnover. It is. All right. Yeah, it is. So they went up 3-1, and at that point, I remember I told my wife, I was like, "Oh, now we're in trouble because if we're down 3-1, it's gonna be tough because if they just score one on the road, it's gonna be a tough wall to climb." I still don't think it was impossible. Jordi Alba should be back. I think that things will be different, but they took that off. It was 2-1, and then we got a little bit of magic. Now, when I saw that there was 7 minutes given, I mean, I understood why, right? Because of that long stoppage time for the VAR and the injuries and all that. But I got to give the majority of that credit to David Ruiz.
Oh, well, look, Peaches is mentioning it. Sunderland and Ruiz would not give up that ball that led to the Suarez goal. Yeah. A++++.
Because David Ruiz got the ball outside the box. And the way to beat what Nashville does as far as parking the bus is to take on a couple of defenders and make them move. And David Ruiz did that. He started taking one-on-one players, working his way into the box. Eventually got the ball out to Sunderland while Busquets was making an overlapping run. And then he hit Busquets coming down the side. And then Busquets did his magical cross that landed on Suarez's head. But David Ruiz taking that man on one-on-one instead of just passing it on. Because that's what happens when you got a team that's playing that congested of a defense, right? They're parking the bus.
Yes.
It's so hard to break down. If you're just passing it back and forth, it's even harder. You got to make some runs. Or you take somebody on one-on-one, which David Ruiz had the balls to do. David Ruiz got some balls on him, man. And he started that. Sutherland had that beautiful pass to Busquets. Those two guys have to get credit. And again, this show can only do so much. I really hope that when you get on Twitter or you hear other shows or you hear Twillman or any of these other people, MLS heads talking, I really hope that David Ruiz and Sunderland get more credit for that goal, because without those two starting up that play, it doesn't open up for Busquets or for Suarez.
And Football Corner is asking, Danny and Chris, do you guys think Nashville is the toughest team for Inter for this tournament? I mean, for now it is. I mean, look,
Monterrey's pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, but we've always had trouble with Nashville. Nashville has never been a very easy matchup for us. So, I mean, that's an interesting take on it. I mean, could it get worse? Could it get a little tougher later? Maybe. And CJC is asking if we think the MLS is going to hire Feds to take out the guy who injured Messi. Yeah, he's going to be on like us at the end of a sniper scope at some point, from what I heard. I was talking to Boosie earlier. He already got people on that. But look at this comment, Danny. Ace Lionel is mentioning, before we finish, I guess, wrapping up the game and talking about what we thought, Tata needs to put in the subs much earlier. How do you feel about how Tata managed the substitutions of this game? Do you think that he should have subbed earlier? Do you think that he should have made more substitutions? You know, because, I mean, Rob Wise is mentioning that Suarez scored the goal with his teeth. You know, could we have brought in like Borjolin beforehand instead of like having Borjolin just awkwardly stand out there in the half line, not get in the game?
I didn't think anybody looked gassed. I was okay with the substitutions today, honestly.
Well, Broward Heron is mentioning horrible substitutions. Aziak is mentioning horrible substitutions. Asif, thank you for hanging tight. 4:30 in the morning over there. Awake since 2 in the morning, man. Much appreciated for sure.
Yeah, I love that, Asif.
Yes. And I thought that it could have been made a little bit earlier, of course.
No, I was okay.
I definitely think. No, man. I feel like it was a little bit too long. To make your first substitution, I think, what was it, like around the 70-something minute?
Okay, but outside of Robert Taylor, who do you think is a better player than the people that were already in the game? Because at that point, like, if Campana's on there, okay. I didn't think anybody looked gassed. Like, I who are you subbing out? Like, I understand that David Ruiz and Sundin ended up working out, so I get it, right? Hindsight being 2020, you're like, oh, yeah, but you see what they did. But I was okay with it. I didn't think that anybody looked gassed. And I thought that everybody that was on the pitch was technically better than whoever was going to come in and replace them.
I think that taking out Kristoff and then playing like a 4-3-3, like a 4-4 or like a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2, where you bring in a winger, you bring in somebody up front. I think that would have been better for us. No,
okay, but but you're not talking subs. You're talking about a change of tactic.
And it, well, and it's if, a sub though,
right? But if he's gonna keep, but if he's determined to keep the 3-5-2 formation, yeah, then what are you gonna sub?
Yeah.
So at that point, you're just criticizing his tactics, which I'm okay with because I hate the three in the back. I think it's horrible.
Well, I mean, but that's the whole issue, right? Like, we were playing three in the back. We got scored on first 3 minutes of the first half. We got scored on first 3 minutes of the second half. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're talking about players that are literally fresher than they can ever get per half getting scored on. It gets worse after that.
And for Josue asking, how does the round of 16 work? It's two legs. It's a home and away. Today was for Inter Miami, was the away. If it ends in a draw after the aggregate, the tiebreaker is away goals. So at the moment, Inter Miami has two away goals. So they're technically in the lead, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. That's what I would say as well. I mean, mm-hmm. And the next home game, I mean, the home game that we have against Nashville, that's going to be a hell of a game, man. That's going to be a hell of a game. I can't wait to watch this. It's and Lucas is telling me my ball knowledge went from 0 to 100 real quick. Yeah, man. I'm talking tactics. I'm talking pitch. So, and Trukutu is mentioning trust the process. So, I mean, look, everybody here, from what I could tell, they don't like Kristoff, so they want to get rid of him, right? People are mad because he didn't play Taylor. So those are the two things that a lot of people are not happy with.
I think that Taylor, if he is this set on playing Gressel is not a right back. He's a right wing back. Mm-hmm. And to play a right wing back, you need to play 3-5-2 or 5-3-2, but he likes to play a 3-5-2.
Yeah.
And in that case, unless you play Taylor in the midfield, he's not taking Suarez or Messi spots. So Taylor just lost his starting job.
Yeah.
So
it's a sad
he might
day,
play
bro.
On Sunday. He might play on Sunday because obviously it's going to be heavy rotation, I think, on Sunday.
I think on Sunday it is going to be a heavy rotation. And I mean, this is the scary part right here by Ace mentioning, you know, the fresh players coming in per half. Like, if you get scored on that quickly, that's got to make a difference on, like, in terms of the defense.
And wasn't everybody fresh, though? Because the second half just started.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, man. Those were blunder plays. Those were blunder plays. Not just like strategically, but like just people weren't in the right places. Like, look, Marasovic is saying Albo was missed.
Albo was missed. He was missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Because Noah Allen's not going to make the same exact plays that you're going to see out of Jordi Alba. And he did improve, though, Anton John, for sure.
Noah Allen is no Alba, but he has improved a lot.
Yeah.
100%. I just saw Danny, let us see your shirt. This is my F Nashville shirt. Put Messi's face on Johnny Cash's body. And right here, it's the League's Cup date when we beat them in the final for the League's Cup. So, yeah. So that's my rival shirt because they are our rival. So F Nashville.
Well, and Tank is mentioning here. Wait,
by the way,
until
batterfans.com.
Yes, go to batterfans.com if you want to check that shirt out, guys. I actually have a package at Danny's house that I ordered of a couple shirts, so I'm waiting to strap them things on. Tank is mentioning wait until Negri comes back. Listen, I've been waiting with bated breath, Tank. I've been waiting for him to come back because I know when he comes back, Jordi Alba's probably going to move up, and that's going to suck because Robert Taylor's going to lose out. But, I mean, look, Robert Taylor could be like a super sub, or else that guy's going to be packing his bags and playing for another team that's going to be better for him in the pockets for sure. So,
and I put the link just in case anybody wanted it on the chat. All right. Well, yes. Which I'm frustrated with the tactics that Tata ran out today. Are you? Yes. Is everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. How many games has Tata lost with a healthy squad?
How many games has Tata lost with a healthy squad? I think with a healthy squad, I mean, technically, like zero, no?
Yeah. I mean, the Charlotte game, that's it. So I get it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, but, you know, you have Messi and Suarez. That's fine. I don't care who you have. As the manager, he doesn't lose when he has a healthy squad. So how can you fire him?
Yeah.
Because you're not winning by enough goals? Yeah, I know, Charlotte. Yeah, that meaningless game at the end of the season where Messi was just didn't care. Well, Messi started that Charlotte game, I believe. But that's it. That's it. That was the only game. So Tata, as much as we dislike him, and you know what? As you dislike him, because I don't dislike Tata. He hasn't lost. You have to wait for him to lose.
Well, and Matthews is mentioning that's unfair, Danny, because Tata was carried. I mean, so what? He got the Phil Jackson treatment? He was carried?
So, because this is the thing with Tata. If he wins or draws like today, it's he was carried. And if we lose, it was all Tata's fault. He's in a no-win situation. Look, I think that he deserves a lot of credit for that Orlando win. I don't think a lot of people gave it to him, but I thought that was a lot him. The way he played Busquets back, the way he told Jordi Alba not to push too far forward. I thought that he did a lot of things that helped out, but nobody wants to give him credit for that.
I could definitely coach this team, Rob Wise, if they're healthy. I mean, I could put my son to coach this team if they're healthy. Oh, you kidding me? Right, we're winning a championship.
That's fine, but are you going to fire him for what then? You're going to say why? Because I don't like the way you're winning?
Well, but it's not just I don't like the way you're winning, but
it's not. So what is it then?
Okay, but you don't think that he's making a couple errors in terms of like where he's placing the players defensively?
Are they losing?
Where he's putting, they're not losing.
Okay, I don't think so.
I mean, look, but we're not scoring like four or five goals a game.
Oh, and so that's it. We got to score four or five. It's got to be 5-0 every week or else Tata's doing a shit job.
I need at least 3 goals a week.
Understood.
Like that is the bare minimum. Am I wrong, guys, by saying I need 3 goals per week? Bare minimum.
100%, especially if teams are constantly pressing you like Nashville decided to. Look, Orlando, for some reason, didn't press us all game, which is why we look so good. We get 5-0. But I think that that's going to be the only game where we don't see that.
Yeah.
Everybody saw what we could do when we have time on the ball and to push the ball up and to build things up. That's not happening anymore.
I am a little wrong. I'm exaggerating, guys. I'm exaggerating. Even though Matthews agrees with me.
Joshua said, if you have Messi in the MLS, you shouldn't be struggling. I know Messi's the greatest of all time.
It takes a whole team. It's a
but
village.
It's 11 people on a team. Like, you got to get the ball to Messi. You got to give him space. Like, it's not that easy. These other guys are professionals also. Like, I understand that everybody wants, like, Messi's here. That's it. You should win the Club World Cup because Messi's here. Or at least the MLS Cup every year. Like, and to be fair, they haven't lost when Messi's healthy and starting. I'll keep saying the stupid Charlie game. But, I mean, exactly. Struggling, they haven't lost. Everybody wants to see, 5-0s constantly throughout the week. Like, it's not going to happen.
And look, this is a great point by Marasovic. Nashville did play great. And the crazy part about it is that Honey Mustard didn't take this game over. Like, we had Mullet Man score 2 goals on us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the worst part. Imagine if Mukhtar was gotten in his bag.
And let's add to the fact that Diego Gomez almost had a goal. He was slightly offside.
Yes, he did.
So Inter Miami was playing pretty well. I mean, they almost had another goal.
I know One World. I know it's not American football. I know. I just look, I can understand why everybody's frustrated in terms of why Tata isn't pulling through like what everyone is expecting, right?
Well, because we don't like the three and three in the back, because I feel like it's an ass clincher all game, because I feel like we're constantly on our back heels.
This is where a lot of people probably would have missed Yedlin. Do you think people looked at this game and said, we should have stayed with Yedlin?
I think if Yedlin is still on this team, we stick with a 4-3-3. That's what I think. I think the fact that Yedlin was no longer here and we thought, okay, Gressel can't play right back, right wing back it is, and three in the back. That's what I think ended up happening.
I could see that. I mean, and then on top of that, look, people are mentioning about speed. Well, I mean, Tank, of course, he's saying hell no. I mean, but Tank, I can't take you serious.
Tank hates the yoga boys.
Yeah, this guy wants Jensen to play goalie. Get out of here. So Matasovic is saying, I believe in Yedlin. Other people are saying needed for this game.
Where would Russell play?
Now with Redondo here. I mean, he's still going to play in the same spot. He's just going to suck on defense.
No, he's going to suck. No, he's going to – hypothetically, actually, today we had some breaking news, right? I don't know if we offered him the contract. I don't know if he accepted it. Yeah. We got I don't have his name because I wasn't sure if it was official, so I wasn't going to bring it up.
I think.
But there's a right back from Boca. Again, we don't like talking about things until they're official.
Yeah.
But the rumor is that a right back from Boca, I forgot his name, was rumored to be on his way. If he's coming, he would be filling in that Yedlin role. So at that point, I think we go back to a 4-3-3. And then what happened? I think Gressel comes off the bench at that point.
Yeah, well, it says that we're targeting, we're looking at signing Rojo and Medina from Boca Juniors.
You're looking at news from like December. No, it's Marcelo Wingate. And I'm probably butchering his name, but he is a right back, played for Boca. He was the backup at Boca, I believe. He lost his starting job. So,
Marcelo Wingate, that's not official.
That's not official. No idea who he is. Apparently, he's a backup over there in Boca. But he could be filling in that starting role for the right back, which would probably bring us back to a 4-3-3, which is what I think we look best in. I think we look best in a 4-3-3 and with Robert Taylor up on the top left wing.
Yeah, but that's if Robert Taylor even gets to sniff the field. I mean, at this point, like I'm afraid that we're not even going to have him starting anymore.
If it's a 4-3-3, I think Robert Taylor starts. If it's a 4-3-3, I think Robert Taylor starts.
I mean, the problem is that Redondo's here to stay. And Gomez ain't going anywhere because everybody loves him for some reason. Because he always has his shirt dirty. Because he's such a hustler. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that why you like Gregory?
Always has his uniform. Always has his uniform dirty. Like the comments here. The commenter said that. The commentary guy is like, oh, he'll never have his shirt clean. I'm like, of course, guy. Good analysis.
Isn't that why, isn't that why you like Gregory? Because he's a pit bull.
I mean, it is, but like, Gomez, do something
Gomez,
better.
Gomez gives you that plus some offense.
Some offense. This guy ran outside. This guy had the ball and he ran out of bounds with the ball. He was an AFK player for a little bit. NFC, he was a NPC. Ran right off the field.
And I saw somebody just said in the comments, I lost the comment though, but if Inter Miami ever presses high, Diego Gomez is leading that press.
Oh, yes, he is. He did today.
He is leading that press. Gomez is a box-to-box midfielder, and I think we're lucky to have him. So stop disrespecting Gomez.
And look, he didn't kill my puppy, Michael. Okay? He didn't kill any of my animals. Oh, look, my gross. Goodness.
I will unsubscribe if Christian's on.
I can't be critical of players. I guess I'm just a little too hard on Gomez.
You're unjustly hard on him.
Well, and you know what? I'll stop because Dennis Lopez is my co-signer with the Diego Gomez hate. So I'll stop, and I'm pretty sure Diego Gomez is going to carry the rest of it for me. So you can stay all subscribed. Right. So don't worry about it. I won't talk bad about Gomez anymore. I promise.
All right. Let's see. So we talked about the game. Anything else that stood out to you? I liked Spicy Messi. Spicy Messi showed up again. But yes, they didn't really show a replay of, as to why he was upset. I don't know if anybody in the chat caught it or if you caught it. But he got really pissed off at the guy Godoy.
He did.
No idea why. He even gave him the finger.
Yeah.
He gave him the finger. I was like, ooh, I'm going to put that into a shirt. Like, I was waiting, but I have no idea why he was upset.
Well, and it looked like they were pointing at the tunnel because apparently something happened in the tunnel. And someone brought it up in the chat that something went on in the tunnel where there was a little bit of beef. So, and yes, Anton, I see that. I see Gomez steals the ball all the time. He's great on defense. The only reason that I have like this accelerated dislike for Gomez is because when he came onto this team, he was projected like this baby Jesus.
No, he wasn't.
And yes, he was. It was him and Facu Farias. They both came in at the same time, and they were both like, oh, my God, we got the greatest players of all time. These guys are going
to be ever said
the greatest.
That.
Yes, nobody ever I remember. Said that. Everybody was like, oh, my God, Diego Gomez, he's going to be so great. He's not.
Oh, my God.
He's good.
Well, and then I wouldn't call it Spicy Suarez. I would just call it Suarez because he's just he's just such an annoying person. He's one of those players that you love to have on your side, but when you play against him, you hate him so much. He looks like he is such an annoying player. He got into it with Zimmerman at one point, and I don't even know what Zimmerman did. Zimmerman was just standing there, and then he started pushing Zimmerman. I was like, what the hell did Zimmerman do? But Suarez, people can't keep talking shit, right? Like, is that it? Are people done with the Suarez? He's done. We don't want him on the team anymore. Look, Campana's already injured. Well, what did I tell you about Campana? Campana is inconsistent and injured. Who saw Campana missing a game because of injury before Suarez? Who had that on their bingo card?
Well, and the worst part is nobody had that because everybody was waiting for him to come and take the reins from Suarez because they thought that Suarez was mid. But it's like you said, though. You called it a couple episodes ago. Campana literally is inconsistent. And who was calling for Campana? Mike V was a big guy for Campana. Where are you at, Mike V?
He's unfortunately either injured or he's inconsistent. And and I believe that eventually he's gonna put it together. But to say that I want to take Luis Suarez out for Campana, that's where I'm like, okay, that's ridiculous. I believe in Campana, but I'm not saying take Suarez out to put Campana in. That I'm not saying. That's ridiculous.
And Rohan is saying, Solana, you the MVP. Listen, Solana called this. And Tank is saying Campana doesn't play enough to become consistent. And then we have the complete other extreme, Kako saying Campana sucks, man. And then here comes Mike V, the Campana protector. Campana is the man, he just doesn't fit the scheme. He's just not playing consistent enough. Not only is he not playing consistent enough, he doesn't get enough minutes, but I mean, he's not being fully effective. You see, and this is the perfect way to put it. Supercalifragilistic saying Campana is not bad, but he's not that good.
No. I would have put it that way. Campana is not bad, but he is not Suarez. That's how I would put it. That's how I would say it.
What Matthew says? Campana is mid?
No, I think he has the capability of if he had more playing time, that he could be better. But he's always injured.
Yes.
He's always injured. Everybody's waiting for Luis Suarez to crumble like a block of Legos. But look, he didn't miss a game yet. And all of a sudden, Campana's missing a game due to injury.
Yeah.
So go figure.
Well, I think that not only do we need a backup striker, a consistent backup striker, but this is one thing that Sarah Jane is mentioning. Suarez is a true competitor. Absolutely. I love that Suarez is like, as much as you guys, a lot of people hate on him in terms of his knees, he does play and he plays very aggressively and it gets the other team pretty pissed.
Anything else that we missed for today's game? Let's see. We had Spicy Messi and Suarez. We covered all the goals. I guess.
Well, that last goal was beautiful. That last goal was gorgeous. That play in between all those, you know, so many players linking up to finally be able to get to capitalize on that tie. You know, what a great feeling in stoppage time. Like, there's no better feeling. Like, everybody, as you're watching, you're like, it's got to come. It's got to come. Even if there's 3-4 minutes left in stoppage time, everybody knew what was coming.
Right.
Oh, this is a good point. What Peaches mentioned, red card that didn't happen. Everybody was talking about how Redondo had the elbow to the neck of that Nashville player.
I thought that was a red card. I was surprised that he only got a yellow. He completely karate chopped him in the throat.
Yeah, he did. He just literally elbowed him right in the neck. He should have been taken out immediately.
Are you surprised that the Fernando Torres lookalike didn't get at least a yellow card for those studs to Messi's calf?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm pretty sure when Messi was down, I don't know if you noticed, but he kept on telling the ref to look at the VAR. And then when he walked back to the bench, you could see he's saying it in Spanish. Nada, nada, nada. Mm-hmm. And then he just laughed it off like, all right, we're going to come back on you guys anyway. So,
yeah. And it's wild how much that guy like Fernando Torres.
Yeah.
For those of you that remember him with Atletico.
Yeah. And this was a good – and I never expected really crosses from Busquets, but like Charles Berry's mentioning – the cross from Busquets was pretty solid.
And Raul Rojas was bringing up what we were just talking about a little while ago, where if David Ruiz doesn't take that defender on one-on-one, mm-hmm. that play doesn't build up the way it does. So
absolutely. And it helps out. Absolutely. I think it definitely helps out. We finally were able to get the tying goal. And look, you know, we're off to better pastures coming this week. To play against Nashville. I mean, we got a game before then, but I'm looking forward to that game against Nashville. I think it's going to be a good one.
Well, I mean, we could talk about that now. Do you want to talk about the ticket prices before we get into that? Because the ticket prices just randomly, we were talking about it last night, how the ticket prices all of a sudden dropped down drastically to the point where I was telling Chris, like, I'm maybe I will go. Because I found my seats for $100. I said, maybe I will go. And then I got on today, and all of a sudden, they're like $350. What the hell happened in less than 24 hours?
Yeah. Man.
So I'm not sure what happened, but over the last 24 hours, they went from dirt cheap. Well, $100 isn't dirt cheap, but dirt cheap to what they were before, to all of a sudden, three times the price. So unless they come crashing down again, I probably won't end up going to the game, Joe. But I thought that was weird. I don't know if anybody else saw that happened, but the prices all went up drastically today.
The thing is, Yo Man Singh is saying resale, but like the resale market is awful.
But the resale were the prices that I saw yesterday for $100. They were all resale.
Yeah, but dude, now I don't know what happened, but everybody just raised them up.
I don't know.
Everybody just raised them up. The scalpers. And do you think Messi's going to take off Sunday after that little close to horrific deal that they almost had? You think he's going to take off that Montreal game?
I think that everybody should take off on Sunday.
Ooh, what?
Yeah. Why
so
would
you're
you
talking about bringing in Borgelin and bringing in what? Hold on. Tank is saying tickets are $105 right now, no resale. Where are the tickets at, Tank? Where are the tickets at?
I have to check that afterwards, but what I looked was 300. On Sunday, I would rest everybody, because if you think about it, today's Thursday. So we got Friday and Saturday for rest days, and then Sunday they're playing again at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they have Monday and Tuesday to rest, and then Wednesday is the second leg. Would you really want that quick of a turnaround? Three games within 5 days? Rest everybody.
Yeah, like, I would.
The Montreal game. It doesn't have a much significance. We could lose that game and I can give three craps. It's a regular season game. We still have another 30 to go.
Yes.
But we need to make sure we get a result against Nashville next week. And now let's talk about the outcomes. The positive is that we scored two away goals. Unfortunately, as much as I hate the rule, the rule is the rule. So let's talk about the rule. Because we have two away goals, we technically have an advantage now with the draw. We could literally just go ahead, park the bus, and grind out a 0-0 victory, and we win because we draw and we have the two away goals, which is the difference. We could actually score one and give up one and sit back with a 1-1 draw. And again, because we were technically on aggregate beat 3-3, we would have the advantage because
of
we
away
scored
goals.
The two away goals. So we're at an advantage for next week. But that Montreal game to me means really nothing. So let's take that advantage we have. Let's play smart. Let's win the game. But more than anything, let's make sure we don't lose the game. And let's move on to the next round of the Champions Cup, because really that's what really matters.
I'm going to be going to the game on Sunday for sure, Joe Kerr, so you can be able to find us. And Tariq is asking if we're going to the NY Red Bulls game.
If it's a home game, yes.
No, it's an away game.
No.
The Red Bulls game, I believe it's an away game. And I was intending on going, but I got to see if I can be able to get some tickets for my kids, so that way we can all go out there and enjoy the weekend probably. So hopefully I can be able to make it out there. But I'm looking forward to this Sunday, even if they're playing the backups to the backups. And then we're going to have a pretty big game against Nashville. So, and Joe Kerr is saying tickets are crazy, Danny. So I don't know what Tank is talking about, but Joe Kerr, who's always been on it, like Joe Kerr is a person that I will trust with any information. I don't know about Tank.
I have a feeling that what Tank might be talking about, it might be maybe supporter section. Maybe
could
that
be.
Is what could maybe, be. Maybe that's what is that was it? He said $100.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, that's probably the most affordable section. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I can be able to. Tank is asking which game. I think we're talking about the game against Nashville, Tank. So.
I got season tickets. I got the Montreal tickets already.
Yeah, and he's looking at Ticketmaster. So I don't know. Maybe okay. Other people are looking at like backdoortickets.org or something like that. That's a made-up website, guys. Don't go to it just in case.
That sounds actually perverted.
That's
all right. Anything else you want to cover? You want to talk about Montreal real quick before we sign off of here?
I mean, sure. You know, for shits and giggles, I think we talked about it yesterday. If I'm not mistaken, we talked a little bit about Montreal.
If it's up to me, we rest everybody. Johnny did ask, what's my opinion on Allen? I thought Noah Allen played well. I think Noah Allen plays well as a left back, even as a left mid. Attacking as a left wing back, I think that he isn't as polished as Jordi Alba. I think we've relied heavily on Jordi Alba so far this season. We've built up a majority of our play up the left side. So I think that our offense suffered a lot not having Jordi Alba there. And I think that we're going to benefit a lot from it next Wednesday. And if anybody wants to resell their tickets for a decent price, you let me know. And because I wouldn't mind going, but I'm not paying $300 for that shit.
Yeah. And El Hakim is asking, any idea how many matches will Messi and Co. miss due to international window? We actually put up a schedule.
The MLS is only playing through one international window outside of Copa America, of course. So they're going to miss all of June, depending on how long Messi's in Copa America. And I think a couple other players, but Messi, Busquets and Alba are retired, and Suarez didn't get called up for this international duty. So I would assume he's not going to be missing any time for that either. So Messi will probably miss most of June and some of July, but only one international window that MLS is playing through, and that is at the end of March and the beginning of April, which is why Tariq was questioning the whole Red Bulls thing, which unfortunately I think he might not play for that Red Bulls game.
And Mike V, we're going to hit you up. I saw your message. We're going to hit you up for sure. And Johnny Dip, I want to mention, yes, I freaking loved the FIFA card. I loved it. It was amazing. It was I saved it on my phone. I'm probably going to put it as a background. It was freaking phenomenal. I appreciate that. It was so fun.
I actually have a FIFA card. I don't know what I did with it.
Yeah, but you don't have Supreme Pull, you know, cart pulling.
No, that's true. That's true. I did see that. You were a 99 at cart pulling.
Yeah, I mean.
And I think at 99 at Emerson Loving or something like that.
Yeah, 100 at Emerson Loving. Okay, let's get it right. Okay.
Anything else before we just start gasbagging and boring the people? Anything else? Anybody else in the chat if you want to ask any questions or chime in with anything?
So, I mean, basically, we're going to expect Harvey Neville's probably going to come back for Sunday. And Noah Allen is going to be left back. We're going to see Saylor and maybe Freire because he needs the warm up. We'll probably see in the midfield like Sunderland and
David Ruiz,
we'll see Gressel just because, maybe Robert Taylor. And then up top, you'll see like Campana and Borgelin.
Campana so, might be injured.
And I mean, at this point, just for shits and giggles and for Tank himself, we're not even going to put Dos Santos in. Jensen's going to be playing.
Well, so, Tank is going to love that.
Yeah.
No, fall in love. So a couple things. Do you look at the Inter-Miami-Nashville more as a rivalry after this game?
Yes, absolutely, man. It just feels so much better, so much more competitive.
I haven't gotten on Twitter, but I have a feeling that that Nashville fans are really pissed off about that offside call. I think he was off. He wasn't offside, in my opinion.
It was a hair. Yeah. It was close.
I don't think so. That was a very messy line that they did. That blue line that just randomly went like that. And then one last thing, 4 years ago today, March 7th, 2020, Pizarro scored the first goal in Inter Miami history. Here we are 4 years later, first Champions Cup game, and we tie in the 93rd, 94th minute with Messi and Suarez on the squad, Busquets assisting. Like, look at that. Like, that is Messi giving the finger to all of Nashville. It's a very famous Johnny Cash picture. So if you know, you know. So I put the link somewhere up there if you guys wanted to get it on batterfans.com. But look, because Nashville, I feel, is our real rival, I felt like I needed to make a shirt.
Yeah, I do think that they are our real rival. I think just because regionally Orlando is there, they're seen as an aesthetic rival, but like, it's not that serious.
Well, this is something good. I'm sorry, Chris, to cut you off. But I meant to ask you this. On Monday, we're going to preview the second leg of Nashville.
Yeah.
Would you like Uncle Mad back, or do you want a different Nashville podcaster, reporter, whatever?
That's a good question. That's actually a good question. I mean, I'm pretty sure everybody here is going to want Uncle Mad back. Yeah, man. I think a lot of people like Uncle Mad.
Because I was considering looking for somebody else, just not because I don't like Uncle Mad, but because I figured we get a different voice. But I'm kind of curious. Oh, look, a lot of people are saying Uncle Mad. Okay, maybe I'll ask him back.
Or you know what? We could leave it for like a Discord poll.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you want to put it on Twitter, but look, guys, if you want to join our Discord to hang out with us, you know, there's 450 of you guys. Not only just like and subscribe if you haven't done so, but check out our Discord. Hop on there. Everybody's having a ton of fun there. Danny and Joker is just saying Danny just hates cats. He does. He absolutely hates cats.
I do hate cats, but what does that have to do with Uncle Mad?
That has a lot to do with Uncle Mad because he has Catterday videos. So
I just put up the Discord link on the chat if anybody wants to join. I guess we'll take it to the Discord tomorrow and see, because I do need time to find someone else if we decide to go with someone else, because I have to reach out to some people. But I do like Uncle Matt, so I wouldn't mind having him back, but I thought people might want a different voice. All right, that's it. I think we're pretty much done. I don't want to keep gas bagging about nothing. Historic day, first Champions Cup game, and awesome draw, great comeback, and cats do suck, Mike V. So yes, 100%. I don't know about that second part, but for sure. Any final thoughts, Chris, before we sign off?
Much love to Gilly Chris from Switzerland. Thank you for showing us some love, and everybody else that chimed in the chat and did your super slams. It's really super appreciated, and you guys in the chat literally are like the greatest thing that happened to this show. So,
and Florida Man, we apologize, but unfortunately, because of this random ass Thursday game, there will not be a Montreal preview. This is probably going to be the only game that I can think of that we won't be previewing, because we preview every game. But unfortunately, I have a deal with my wife. She lets me, if you guys know what I do with the Battered Fans, I podcast a lot Monday through Thursday. Mm-hmm. But I have a deal with my wife. I do not podcast Friday, Saturday, or Sunday unless it's a Inter Miami post game. So there will not be a Montreal preview. So I apologize for that. And Tariq, good night. Much appreciated, Tariq. You are awesome. I'm gonna have to send you out a shirt, Tariq, because we really appreciate your support. All right, I'm gonna look out for you, Tariq. Anything else, Chris? I'm sorry, I forgot if you said anything.
No, man, that's it. You know, much love to you guys hanging out with us. It's late a lot, you know, not just for us here in the East Coast, but for a lot of you in other places. So we thank you so much for that.
Fucking Tank. I hate you, Tank.
Yeah, I mean, Tank, get out of here, man. Get a life. This guy's going to send Cole Jensen like a Valentine's card.
Oh, man. And I don't know. Look, we have another guy. What happened to the divorce guy? I don't know.
Look, I hope he's doing okay. And if you're there sitting in the chat, just say what's up or hanging with us in the Discord. Listen, there's a lot of people that are going through the same thing that you're going through. So maybe you'll find somebody that can be able to kind of, you know, talk to you and stuff like that. So everything's going to be all right, buddy.
Yeah. So hit us up. We'll buy you a beer or something.
Yeah.
All right. For sure. We'll be back on Sunday for the post game for the Montreal game. So, so nothing from here to then. Join the Discord. We'll be doing that poll for Uncle Mad, and I think that's about it. So if you are listening on audio, we appreciate you listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5-star comment, review, all that other good stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, share, tell your friends. If you like the shirt, batterfans.com, because F Nashville, because they're a real rival. That's about it. Sunday night, we'll be back for the post game for the Montreal game. So hopefully we beat Bryce Duke Lassiter and Joseph. So until the next one, have a good one.
This guy wants no goalie.